Well, hey, everyone, we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you guys hear okay? I'm hearing yes. Yes. Awesome. Thank you guys for being here. Super excited to be here with you guys this morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Justin Miller. For the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of serving on the information technology team at Seed Company. Also with me in the back is my colleague, Joan Spanny. I think everybody in the whole world knows Joan from what I've observed this week. If for some reason you don't, Joan's been on the progress.bible team and currently serving as the product manager and has all of the information that you guys want to know will likely come from her and not from me during this time, so just warning you guys up front. Before we dive in, I'm actually going to ask Kate Burnett Firebaugh to pray over our time together, and then we will go ahead and dive in.
All right. God, we thank you for bringing us together today and for the time that you've placed us in. We thank you for the possibilities of collaboration, the possibilities of knowing what teams are doing on the ground and how we can best serve them through that knowledge. God, we ask that you would give us wisdom in not only pursuing how to access this information, but also knowing how to use it best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Kate, thank you so much. Okay, so for today, as many of you guys know, there's actually two sessions happening literally at the same time, literally next door. If for some reason you guys are interested in the philosophical discussion, the next 30 seconds would be a good time to stand up and make your way out. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Had Joan and I not been leading, I think both of us would actually maybe be in the other room. So now that said, if you get up like 10 minutes from now and walk out, I may have some other questions for you, but just know you have a free pass and there's a limited time offer. For the purposes of today, we're going to start super high level. And then, as I mentioned, Joan's got a ton more detail than I ever will be able to comprehend in my life. But for context, we're going to give some background in terms of why E10 is asking for a progress-based metric thing, kind of what was asked of progress.bible earlier, as well as kind of how that's impacting the implementing organizations. That's kind of the background. There was a pilot run between July and September, and then a survey that came out at the end of that that highlighted some challenges and opportunities. We want to share some of those results, not the full details, but kind of a synthesized view just to make good use of our time today. And then obviously some discussion around issues that have since been resolved or are resolving as we speak, and then others that may still be open, both to inform you guys and to kind of bring everyone along as we walk through the journey together. Some super high-level background. As you guys know, and as Dal has mentioned a couple times from the stage this week, earlier this year, backing up a couple years, E10 has a desire to move towards a progress-based metric for accountability for funding for organizations. So in the past, money would have been distributed. Now it's, hey, let's show some progress. Let's show how we're doing this and get into some of the details. So that's kind of the high level. Earlier this year, progress.bible was asked to compile some very high-level metrics around that. And essentially, as we move towards kind of running long-term would be a chapter-based metric. We are not there yet. We're starting by crawling and then walking. We want to get to running, but we're kind of on that journey. And E10 had requested that to inform distribution of funds. As I mentioned, they ran a pilot July through September of this year and then tracked a couple different metrics in terms of how organizations were progressing to getting towards the chapters, right? That's the super high level. In terms of how that impacted organizations, you can think of this as a funnel. Starting at the top, as Joe mentioned, I think it was yesterday, progress.bible has a list of engagements that companies are doing. And then for the most part, if it's a text-based and you're using paratext, they have the actual specifics of kind of translation that's happening. The goal is to match them up. That's step one. Second step, they were looking for some organizations would have what's called a plan, a progress plan in there. They figure out if they can kind of read that and make sense of it and match the things together, and then look for progress reported against that plan. For most organizations, that at least that I've seen, I don't know all of them, the funnel is very, very wide, very fat at the top, and then if you're anything like Seed Company as an implementing partner, it gets pretty narrow pretty quickly. And the goal is to get as many that are at the top of the funnel down to the bottom of the funnel as possible, right? So we're looking for more of like a rectangle over time, or a can. There you go, Paul. Thank you. Most folks would have seen those steps represented recently in a progress readiness diagram that the SI on the progress.bible team have put together. You can see a similar funnel, except it's kind of going horizontal. So now like a sideways can is what we're going for. And the purpose of this is really to help organizations understand where in that funnel things may be dropping off. The end goal, at least at the current state, is to get as many through the pipeline, through the funnel, as we can. Okay? So that's where we're starting from. That being said, pilot July through September. Joan's going to add some context probably to what I just said in the last 5 minutes and then talk more about the survey.
I want to pause and let them ask questions about that background.
That would be great. We will start with Andy Kellogg.
Okay. One of us needs to run.
You stay up here, Joan, because you'll have more detail. And I used to run in a past life, so.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Justin.
Andy, if you could also, we know your name.
Okay.
Say your role super briefly.
Okay.
When you ask your question.
I'm currently at Seed Company.
Your role.
My role. I guess I'm the vice president of Bible translation.
Okay, thanks.
So I see that first orange box there. It says no partial alignment, no paratext alignment. What are the reasons for non-alignment? I'm guessing it's because it's a dialect or something, but could you fill it in?
Yeah, I can fill that in. So there's a few flavors of non-alignment. The easiest way to get alignment, so I'll kind of work to it forwards, is that an agency actually tells us, this engagement we're telling you about, this is its paratext project. They can do it with the paratext project globally unique identifier, or they can do it with the registry identifier. We'll take either one. So that's the easiest way to get alignment. And all we do there is ask, do the languages match? The language of the engagement that you tell us about directly and the language that is in the paratext registry metadata. If those two match, we're good to go. We also try to match up just by observing. Agency A has told us that they have this engagement in this language. Can we find a paratext project, one paratext project, that is in that language and that agency is in some role associated with it? If there's one and only one, got a match. If there's not one, no match. If there's two or more, no match. So we are looking at that point by agency. Now, if an agency tells us the project to look at and the languages match, we don't do an agency check. So there's one agency that isn't listed in a role through the registry. That's been one of their difficulties. We just figured out a way to get a bunch of matches. They partner with other agencies. We can find those paratext IDs and put them in. So those are the checks that we do for alignment. And misalignment is we can't find one and you didn't tell us, or we find too many and you didn't tell us.
I think Kate had a question.
You might have said it and I missed it. Of the ones that are dumping in at the start, is every organization, no, the blue, is every organization contributing to the pilot, or were certain organizations chosen for the pilot?
Every implementing partner that is using Paratext. So only Deaf Bible Society doesn't have one of these diagrams because we haven't yet sorted out the process for their progress metrics and the sourcing of it. But all the other implementing partners do have them.
So just to be clear, your alignment is between Paratext and progress.bible, has nothing to do with E10 at this point.
Yes. I'll say that the direction matters. Our alignment is from progress.bible data reported to us by the agency, and we go looking in the paratext registry for it. We don't go looking at all of the engagements of the agency in the paratext registry, because there are some that intentionally we're not informed about. Those are out of scope for us. Usually they're because of a different relationship with the project. So it's not like those are being hidden. It's that, no, those are really separate. They're other partners.
Good. Other questions? No? All right. So we will, as I mentioned, survey was run. A lot of a lot of feedback. That's probably the best way to say it. We've done our best in terms of synthesizing that down to a couple pages, which I think Joan's going to hand out per table. And Joan, in terms of talking through some issues, I'll actually hand it over to you, and I can hand some copies of that off. That'd be helpful. But basically, we want to share with you guys the results of what was learned over those couple months, and then walk through some of the kind of major rocks that are there, and then also surface other open issues that may need discussion today. So. Yep, I will.
Do we have the survey, anything about the background of the survey? Is that? Okay, so the survey itself was initiated by Mission Mutual, and the people who were surveyed, there was one response per implementing agency with E10. So this wasn't a survey of hundreds or dozens, it was a survey of nine. So there was one response per organization, and they brought input in from whomever they asked. I don't know who crafted the responses. All I got was the responses without agencies identified.
And just for context, for this group, there were a few other questions asked. These six questions were probably the most relevant to this session, so we've excluded some, which is, if anyone's asking where did six, seven, and eight go?
Exactly. That wasn't a typo. There were 10 questions, but the ones that are most relevant for this group were 1 through 5 and 9. So the handouts that we've just done, we'd like you to share among your table. And they have the question as it was worded to the person receiving the survey, and they have a digest of all of the responses from all of the agencies. We'd be reading like missing lunch if we were reading all of the results from the survey together.
So let me suggest, guys, take a few minutes at your tables, kind of review the digests that are there. Well, then probably in 4 or 5 minutes or so, I'm going to ask for some of the major themes, issues that you guys are sensing that also might be relevant for your organizations. We can surface them and then maybe have some discussion around what's currently in process for them, and then we'll grab some open issues as well. So.
Just a hint on the formatting. If you see words in square brackets, those are a hook, if you will, for something that's already happening towards a solution or towards a response or information. So the bracketed information wasn't from survey respondents. That's from implementers looking at it and saying, oh, I think maybe we have a hook to hook into already to help solve that issue. But I had no means got all of the hooks. So I hope this room will surface more of the possibilities.
Okay, cool. All right, hey guys, we're gonna bring everyone back together. And how we're gonna run through this, there are 6 questions total. We're gonna focus on the first 3 for now. So what we're looking to absorb is kind of major trends, issues that kind of surface at your table around questions 1 through 3, and then we'll go through questions 4, 5, and 9 afterwards. Paul has graciously volunteered to be a mic runner for us, and so.
I've got a question.
And you got a question, yeah. Please.
Okay, just so you know, on question 1, I'm just going to be preemptive here, where it says attempting to change project to a new project plan midstream results in loss of project process, project progress to date. So what's happening here, just number 1, your Paratex project data, your translation stuff, it's okay. That's all going fine. It's this project data. What's happening is we have fields, different fields. The fields don't align. And when they don't align, you have a many-to-one or one-to-many types of relationships or many-to-many. And only you know what those mappings are. We can't automate that on the Paratex software. So our goal is to put together a mapping tool that will help you to say, I'm going from this plan to this one, and then you'll be able to process that for those plans, going from one plan to another. If you're like SIL, we have about 1,500 projects, but we only have about 250 of those projects that actually have a project plan. So it's not that big of a deal, but we have 7 or 8 project plans and we're trying to consolidate. So that is a deal for us. So who has a comment or question? Or
when you say you're doing the mapping, what's the time on that? Or
yes. we don't have a schedule, but my guess is by January that will be in place. That's the hope. They're working on it. Of course we have Thanksgiving and Christmas and
which January? All right. Yeah. Let's start with question one. Any main issues you guys are hearing at the tables in addition to what Paul mentioned?
Kent here had one on the incremental approach. So Nathan Miles and myself and Jonathan Roby on the Paratex team and Joan are talking about that. So that incremental piece hopefully will come together after January.
So open issue to be resolved in a future January. Sounds good. Other?
I'm kind of wondering, what do you mean by, when you map a new project plan onto, will there be administrators that can like force a new project plan on the team? Or does the team need to implement it? I mean, how are you envisioning doing that kind of transition of project plans?
Very carefully. each organization needs to manage their project plans and figure out what works for them. At a very individualistic place like SIL, a lot of people will say, I need to do my own project plan, and that's probably okay with us for people to do their own project plan. I don't know, David, you might have a different perspective. How are we going to migrate at SIL to get people to move to the compact? Any ideas on that?
No technical ideas, but my understanding in talking with Joan for many hours, thank you, Joan, is the important thing we're looking at is the stages. And so if they already have a plan that's got it, I think that's okay. So I think that's my understanding. I'm a sociolinguist, so don't throw anything at me. I'm just trying to understand this.
On that same topic, I think it's valuable to be able to have an administrator, and it sounds terrible, but force a plan. It's not so much forcing as it is helping the team, because if that doesn't happen, we have 900 plus active projects, is that right, Kate? And just making sure that all of our teams had the right version of Paratext was a very long experience. And so if we have to make a personal touch on each project, it's just not gonna happen.
I will offer, in terms of timing, one thing that I've heard, at least in seed companies' context, which may be helpful for others, there are natural breaking points in terms of timing. And so it may be, I don't know all the unique situations, but it may be worthwhile to sequence that so that as projects may be transitioning from a phase to a different phase, whatever that may look like, there may be better times to do that than others, is what we found as well.
Maybe this is obvious, but I think we sometimes miss it. This is really a management question. We need good management to help people. You know, I'm thinking about it for SIL, this whole transition. It's many different, depends on the area, depends on the entity, but it's many different roles of people that play into this. You know, and that's what I'm trying to understand and help with.
Question in the back, Paul?
When you say to change the plan, you mean to change the translation procedure, stages, sub-stages, yeah? Or you mean, for example, to change the ratio of percentage between the stages or different percentage of progress or or how the progress will relate to stage, or how the progress will relate to substage, or what you mean?
So this is what is in each stage of the plan. So when we first had the first SIL plan, SIL is very idealistic. We had 1,700 items that had to be done to get through this thing, and no one can do that. So we have what we call now a compact plan, which has a...
It's only $16.99. It's great, guys.
So that's our struggle. Sorry, true confessions here. So it's really if the number of items in each stage, and that's what we're talking about. If it's otherwise, you're just doing your... That's where the person has to understand what maps from what stage to this, yeah, from this item to that item, to adjust that. We can't guess that on the computer and be successful.
System will work if everyone will have a different percentage for different stage, yeah? According to...
Yes.
Okay. Will you change also the difficulty level, or you don't think about it?
Change the difficulty level?
Yeah.
We're willing to take input from people. So some tasks have a difficulty level assigned, so they can say, oh, this is going to take a little longer or less long amount of time.
Sorry, isn't that an important point, that if the different agencies have different weightings and times for the different stages of books, how can progress be measured across all the agencies using the same standard?
Each agency makes their own custom plans or uses the template from a different agency. So right now, UBS, I think, has three different plans. PBT has their plan. SIL has like eight or nine plans. So each, when you create your project plan, you can create your own template for your organization. So you would be able to track that. How do you match that between organizations? Joan has the answer.
I have a description of what we're trying to do, which can be refined. But so just as with those things that we call engagements in progress.bible, and we call them engagements because they're sort of a simplified, bare-bones representation of a project or program or whatever that agency shapes based on their time frames and parameters, we are also taking the approach of, in aggregating, you must simplify. So... another part of the background is that initially our team proposed four major milestones that we looked for and saw evidence of across every agency's plan that we saw. And in fact, they line up one for one with the UBS base plan as we understood it. We're focusing at the moment on the first milestone, which is drafting. Didn't see a plan that didn't have that unless the plan was specifically designed for an adaptation from an existing project. Haven't cracked that nut yet. But everyone that was starting from translation for this particular language, they've got a drafting thing. And at the end, maybe there might be some plans that had two stages. They corresponded to, this content is ready to be published. So for a formal incremental approach or an informal get it out there to publish and get feedback approach, if it's reached that last milestone, those are the two milestones that we're looking at. And we aggregate the data because different agencies also have different plans. Some projects have customized plans that are serving their needs. So that I was really surprised that you guys asked no question about interpretable. And I thought, oh, they all know what interpretable means. Interpretable means we can align a stage or multiple stages in a plan to the appropriate milestones. So we are aggregating and looking at the data as it fits to a milestone. And right now we're looking at the drafting milestone and the ready to publish milestone. And I'll try to capture that in the notes later.
Joan, thank you. Any other comments around question one? Alva, yeah. Yeah, or for the back, yeah.
Just for a bit of clarification on what you just said, Joan. You said you originally proposed tracking 4 milestones, but we're currently tracking 2. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I'll just say what the 2 middle milestones are. They're at the idea, and we could do this. They're not at the E10 wants us to do this as shared metric kind of thing. So that's why we're not focusing on them right now.
So in the current model, for a plan to be interpretable, you need to map to those 2 stages, drafting and it's ready to publish.
That's what we did, yes.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification.
All right, Kate?
I don't know if this goes with question one or not. I'm just going to say it. So I appreciate what Debbie is saying about it being a management issue. I think for us, you know, looking at the seed company portfolio, a goodly portion of it is not with SIL. It's with smaller organizations, new organizations, churches, or what have you. We need training. Our teams need training. I don't worry about my SIL people. You know, I don't know, maybe I should, but I don't. But these other organizations, they do need someone to step in and train them. And at least at Seed Company, I think we only have 1 or 2 people on staff that are able to do that. We can't fly them all over the world all the time. That's just cruel. So how do we do that? How do we get them trained? And how do we incentivize for the teams doing this in progress or in Paratext? So I guess that's 2 different issues, training and then incentivizing it for the teams in a way that doesn't remove ownership of their project for them.
Yep. Kate, great question. I'm going to suggest we capture that, Joan. And also, I'm interested if there's other organizations in the room that want to speak in to that. Now would be a great time.
Same organization. But, Kate, I think if we can have really great reports that come out of this data, that the team themselves or their managing organization can use to monitor their progress in a way that's understandable and clear to them, I think that would be great value. So I don't know exactly at this point with Paratext 9 what the reports are, but if they could be really awesome, I think that would really help with implementation.
Cool. So there is training on the Paratext Vimeo channel on creating a project plan, but if you have feedback on that, or maybe there's some other things that need to be done, that video training that could be got accessed online might be a good solution for you.
And if anyone needs access to that, feel free to reach out to myself and Joan, and we'll get that out to you after the session, or Paul.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I think, you know, the idea of the local ownership, I think we need to be careful. I think, obviously, we all support monitoring progress and being able to measure things, but if we're going down to the local ownership, we need to find a broad and easy way to make measuring the progress workable and usable for the local teams. I think when we get too far down of you must use this tool in this way to be able to measure the progress, we're gonna shoot ourselves in the foot. So
yep. Good comments, Billy.
How do we broaden that measurement of progress?
So in Biblica, we have the privilege of only having a handful of projects that we have to really track, less than 50, and we can actually go in there and force the plans on our people. But we also have workshops, Paratext workshops, regularly, and so we meet with all the translators from different translation groups all together, and we explain the plan, how to use it. Not everybody's using it well, but I think we have 80% buy-in at this point. And one of the things we are upfront about is this plan is really important because there's a funding source that's attached to it, and you need to do this so that we can get paid so we can pay you. And it's kind of a motivator.
Mm. Yeah. All right, let's move on to question two. Anything that surfaced at the tables around that? And if we're not capturing anything correctly up here, please feel free to interrupt and let us know as well. Actually, do you guys have a copy of the slides? I can. Yeah. So any additional issues you guys have experienced when attempting to prepare for utilization of the refined progress-based metric system? Going once, going twice. Number three, Michael. All right, question three. Implementing partners have reported issues in the interactions with field partners necessary to influence their utilization of Paratext and or their choice to release data flow through Paratext. Discussion, key topics there at the tables. Yeah, it kind of connects with Billy's comments. Going once, going twice. All right, makes my job easy. Question four, steps necessary for implementation of the system for which guidelines for implementation may accelerate and or make it easier to do. I've heard a few comments around that previously as well.
Are there things that you see called out on the responses already given that you say, yes, to that would help to reinforce input we've already received, or are there bullets that you're like scratching your head over?
So once again, we've really tried to implement in Biblica project plans across all of our projects, but this involves making adjustments to the registry. When is the due date? When do we expect this to be done? Across a whole range of projects. And ours is just a handful of what yours are. And we have to open up this registry item and change this. We don't have a dashboard that allows a system-wide administrator to go in and look at these projects across in different forms, so that we can look at these dates of when they're going to be due. And so we have to build other systems to go in there and pull this stuff out and create other views. And I think that's the biggest impediment right now is administrative dashboards.
I don't know if anyone else wants to speak to that. If not, so just for context, one of the things that we learned during this process is actually in Paratext, there are certain access rights depending on kind of what Paratext user you have, and I'm not the expert on this by any means, but one of which is a progress tab in there, and you can actually see, at least for Seed Company now, all of our projects in there, the progress, the plans, there's graphs. I mean, it's pretty robust. We did not know that a few months back. It took some collaboration and some questions being asked, but once we were granted access, it actually sounds very similar to the need that you're describing. So just as an informational point, we learned that something like that does exist. Obviously, we needed to kind of figure out what we were looking at and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Maybe worth exploring with the Paratext team.
Right.
Yeah, good. And I don't know, Paul, if you want to. Yeah.
So I would recommend if that's, I need to check with Daniel DeBlois is the Paratext registry owner. So either him or Doug Higby should be able to work with you so we can get that information. Let me know if that's an issue that you need, and I'll track it down.
Yeah, and I hope I'm not committing them to tons of work, nor telling everybody.
You're saying it's already working, right?
That's right. I don't want like 17,000 people in there if they don't want that. But
one of the challenges that I was talking with Doug about last night is we don't want to have every, for example, for your agency or your area, we don't want to have to give too many people access to that data. Because then you get people in there that don't know what they're doing, that have an opportunity to change the data, and that's problematic for representing your data properly. So we want to make sure that you don't open the door too wide to let people in that, that are going to cause problems.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but just they don't know how it works.
Joan, one thing I may recommend for the notes there is making sure that at least for an administrator in Paratext, the knowledge of that being there and kind of distributing that, yeah, I just want to make sure that's captured. Thank you. Other questions?
Actually, it is not a question. I want to say issues that we probably feel we have with a plan in Paratext. So in UBS, all the projects have four milestones, like drafting, team review, and community review, and consultancy check. And each stage has fixed percentage of progress. And as far as I know, it was fixed also in Paratext 8 when the planning was launched there, planning system. And this percentage based on number of verses that can be done in one day by a translator. So, and what is missing for me as a project manager in Paratext plan, that actually plan is not planning forward. It is just the structure, the systems that you're working. It is what kind of plan you have and translation strategy. But planning forward, it is when you can plan forward having the translators who is working the fixed numbers of hours in your organization and how much it can be done during the day and then the year, and it is the time frame for that then fixed, and then you can know how much can be done this year, what progress you will reach if you do this, this, and this. So, and we feel this issue start to think about how to produce this forward planning that could be then later incorporated in the Paratext. So we discussed this also with Paratext colleagues with from SIL, and now just trying to work with that and then to present it later if possible. Paratext.
Did we capture that correctly? Is it captured correctly?
It says the plan has the structure, but no way to plan forward and shape how much can reasonably be done by each.
With assignments, when you can just tick out the progress, who did what, and then you calculate the progress, but it is not a planning forward.
So in essence, what it's doing is looking at what's been accomplished, but there's nothing, there's not a place in that plan to say, you know, I would predict that this person's going to be working for this many months, how far would they get? Because it's projections.
Like a projection.
Yeah. What we are doing now, trying to make this API from to be able to withdraw from Paratext the basic plan, the assignments, the people names, and then to plan on that ahead, to plan forward.
Cool. All right. Speaking of APIs, I'm going to move us to question 5. So, and this may have some more discussion, I'm assuming. I know some organizations have looked at alternate methods to report back in. So up until now, we've been talking about, for the most part, end users going into the Paratext user interface and actually changing things in the tool directly. I know some organizations have experimented with technologies that will push towards the Paratext API and have seen a lot of success in that. With that context, question 5, exploring other technology options, I'd love to know kind of what items surfaced and what discussions did you guys have at your tables?
At a seed company, I'm the director of software at Seed Company, and we learned about the Paratext API that lets you push progress data to the server. And so we were able to use that, and that really presents the possibility of some of the things that are mentioned here about potentially integrated in an internal tool, because Seed Company has an internal tool to monitor progress. We could use that API to push progress data directly, and that provides groundwork for integrating with even more agencies. Do you want me to speak to anything else? Just passing that along, I guess, as we ideate more options with solving some of these issues. You know what? I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. I'm sorry for speaking nerd. Let me translate. The Paratext client, the Paratext application that your users use, talks to a server in the United Kingdom, I believe, somewhere. It's in the cloud, wherever the cloud is. And Seed Company learned that we can talk directly to that server in the cloud and interact directly with the data that Paratext users send to the cloud, progress-wise, just progress data. So we're able to interact. Our computers can talk to their computers. That presents the possibility of automating some of these migration concepts. It gives us tools, and it really provides a canvas for thinking through some larger abstractions that may automate things that are currently manual. You know, the sheer scale of the task with many projects needing to be migrating and plans updating. The possibility exists with that tool set that Paratext provides to automate things. So that language can be used to build larger ideas. It's not outside the realm of the possible to ask for X, Y, and Z because of that, the ability.
So what I'm envisioning is just in the same way that you get an update to your Paratext program and it says you want to go from, you know, it wants to update you from version 0.7 to 0.8, you could say, we now want to update your project plan from 0.3 to 0.4, and there'll be some process that would actually automatically kind of look at your data and then migrate it and standardize it to some sort of a standard. Is that what you're kind of envisaging?
Software guys are very guilty of speaking too much sometimes. What I'm saying is the possibility exists for a tool to be created, not that such a tool is being designed now. Paul mentioned that he's building a mapper. So that mapper is a brick when it gets launched. The existence of the what I just mentioned is another brick. And on those bricks, conceivably in the future, something could be built. Nothing is planned right now. We're envisioning things. Is that fair?
I still feel like half the room is kind of mystified, right? Melva.
So for those of us like myself who don't have our computer geniuses in our organization here in the room right now, the people who do speak your language, if we want them to help build a tool like that or take advantage of the tool that y'all are building, who do we have them talk to?
So I'll answer that because I have a thought on that. There is documentation about this computer program to computer program interface, that application program interface. There's pretty good documentation for a developer to look at, and Dan DeBlois is the developer of that API. So Michael, my team mate, Dan Whitenack, they've both been in good conversation. The API has been improved. There's been headway made. I just want to go back and describe what's in this data in the first place. It is a stage name and a percentage of progress per book inside a project. So the shape of data injected into the registry by an intervention, like what Michael has talked about, is also needing to be a percentage in a stage per book. If another tool that you have management-wise has information shaped that way or that can be reshaped that way, it's a candidate to go into the registry that way. There's more refinements that we can talk about, but that's how it works today.
Joe and Michael, thank you. And if I can append on to what they said, one of the, Melva, to your question, one of the ideas that we've floated around, it hasn't been landed yet, but maybe a plane landing soon, is possibly a working group from a technical aspect that may have a couple of those folks and then others from the other implementing organizations. If that's something you guys are interested in, please let me know or let Joan know after, and maybe we could have some dialogue to maybe actually land that plane and get something formed. So I do know there will be a working group started, but on the technical side specifically, that may be something to look at as well. Great question. Andy?
Yeah, I had a question. So one of the bullet points here, question five, was talking about providing progress data directly to progress.bible. Mm-hmm. My understanding of the system, and I'd very much like clarification from you all, is when a team enters their progress data, it goes to that holding area in the UK or cloud or wherever, but then the field coordinators at whatever managing agency, it stops until they have a chance to review it and pass it on. I'm wondering what agencies have been doing with that chance to review, if it just goes on. I suspect that stage was added to keep teams from saying, I'm done with this whole book, you know, when really they had just drafted all the words in the book. What's happening with that, and is that what this is speaking to?
I don't know if I'm able to speak to exactly what that was speaking into, only because I don't know who the comment came from. I do know from some conversations, Andy, that I've been in, Paratext is maybe a good starting point because it does house the majority of projects. However, there are other cases, maybe there's oral or storying or other types of translation work happening that are not in Paratext. And so the idea of capturing, like how do you capture the ones that are not in Paratext back to progress.bible somehow? I know that was a part of it. But to your question, there may be others in the room that may be better suited than I am to answer that.
I'll answer your question and ask a question back to the room. The answer to your question is that statement is about less about Paratext and more about the other tools that exist or the other platforms that exist where tight integration with Paratext isn't going on yet. But to that question, the original motivation for this was to have an approval process of the tasks that had been checked off by a team member as having been accomplished, and then looking at that in terms of, was that task really accomplished, and was it weighted properly? And there were two agencies that have used this during the trial period. One of those agencies, I'm not sure what their current or future intent is. I will say that for the progress data that comes to progress.bible, if an agency has never approved the data, it's just sitting there in its unapproved condition, that data is available to progress.bible. So an agency that routinely doesn't exercise any approval process or layer, it just passes through to us. For an agency that has exercised that and injected a revised or modified or approved, could the numbers could stay the same. They're like, yep, that's approved. That will stay there. That approved body of data will stay there, even as the project is feeding in unapproved data. Progress.Bible won't see the unapproved data unless our API is changed. So there could be last week's unapproved data, but we'll see 2 months ago approved data. And I don't know if people want to, so my question back to the room is, it's less about the whether it's good or bad to do approvals, but you know whether your agencies are considering them or not. And experiences with them, if you're willing to share. I realize that's management information, so.
Dylan, thank you. Any other comments, questions around question five? All right, question nine, I do not have in front of me, but the last one we'll talk through is, thank you, sir. What seems most helpful about the application of this approach to kind of our collective pursuit of the goals? So I think this is kind of a catch-all. Any other general, you know, comments, thoughts, needs that you guys have? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, I'm going to transition us. I'm hoping to end a few minutes early to give you guys some time back before lunch. But I want to spend the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes in terms of next steps, in particular if you're an implementing agency in this room, anything else that you feel would be helpful for your organization. So, for example, would a roundtable or a working group or something, hey, we're going to, you know, be flying someone around the world to upgrade a bunch of things, and we want to be in contact with other folks that are doing that kind of thing, maybe one. Anything that you guys would feel would be helpful going forward coming out of this time today that we could capture and then maybe help facilitate or put into motion. What I'm hearing is we've done a great job answering everyone's questions and everyone's good to go. Yes, ma'am. Who's got the other mic? Is that, oh, thank you, Paul. Yeah.
Being a non-technical person but interested in progress and interested in the migration of the funding in the direction of progress. I'm grateful to hear that you guys are tackling so many of the issues, and so thank you for that. I have a question related to what complications do you foresee in the migration from progress, or I'm sorry, from Paratext 8 to Paratext 9? Is that going to complicate any of this?
Yeah, great
paragraph
question.
Paratext 8 to Paratext 9 is no impact at all. The model for all of the text stays the same, and the model for all of the project progress tracking stays exactly the same. So it's just people getting in their mind the new user interface, and you really want those enhanced resources that are available to make your translators happy. Please move.
Is there a turn-on process for that, or is it invisible? And
it's totally invisible. People just download it. In fact, on a project, you could have someone still using Paratext 8 and someone using Paratext 9 at the same time. It's just at what point people feel that the value of changing from 8 to 9 is worth it for them. And then, of course, we still have people running Windows 95 or, you know, old versions of Windows because, well, I don't want to change, but yeah, if people can change, that's great. We're doing automated updates every few weeks, so we're trying to keep everything working well. So,
cool. Other questions? Anything else that would be helpful?
I have one, if I could, from this room that would be helpful. One of the things that we've done with Paratext 9 is we've we've begin adding additional user interface language capabilities for translating. So we've got Khmer, we've got Vietnamese, we're adding a bunch of other languages. If you could let me know what languages for the user interface that Paratext runs in would be helpful for your organization, that would be helpful so we can kind of try to prioritize those types of things.
There you go.
I'm just wondering if everybody realizes you can also translate your project plan into different languages and have it implemented in different languages in your when it's installed. And so if you have a Russian version of your project plan and your user uses Russian as their Paratext language, then the project plan will appear in Russian. And that's a lot of work to put that in, but I don't know if anybody's been doing that besides the very first UBS project plan, which had all those languages. That's good.
So SIL has in French.
Okay, well, if there's no other discussion or questions, thank you guys so much for joining us. Thankful for each of you guys and for helping us surface some of the issues. If you have any other questions afterwards, feel free to reach out to Joan or myself. And if not, hope you guys get a few minutes back in your day. So take care.